There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Good afternoon, everybody. This is State Representative Matt Simpson. If you're listening now, you know that I am not Sean Sullivan. Sean's on vacation. He should be back soon for us, but I am happily filling in for him. And we're going to get started off right off the bat with one of the most distinguished guests that I could invite on here. I'm very happy to have the Speaker of the House, Mr. Nathaniel Ledbetter. Mr. Speaker, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Matt. Good to be on the show with you today.
Absolutely. One of the things and why I'm so excited to have you on is because we talk all the time about wanting to get our message out and wanting the public to understand some of the good things of what we're doing in Montgomery. And I can't think of a better way than to have you talk about some of the stuff that maybe the public is not aware. You know, a lot of the elephants kind of take a lot of oxygen in the room, some of the bills that didn't pass this session, but there are a lot of good things that did pass. And I wanted to kind of get your opinion and talk about the outcome of this past session we just had.
Yeah, I think it was one of the better sessions we've had. Like you said, a lot of times some of the bigger subjects takes up all the oxygen in the room. But if you look at some of the things we've passed as far as ballot harvesting, the DEI, and you know, the CHOOSE Act, you know, those are all strong pieces of legislation that helps our state in the long run. And I think it makes taxpayers' money put to a better use. So certainly looking forward to see how those come. We had a number of positive bills that come out this year. I think the last two sessions has been really strong, and I appreciate the leadership for you, you know, as a chair in the committee, and you've done a great job, and certainly look forward to continuing the work and seeing improving our state.
Well, I appreciate that. One of the things, and we're starting to see some of the results from what we've been doing just in the past few years from the legislature, and one of the things I'm happy about is some of the national media is starting to pay attention and looking at Alabama for our business-friendly policies. Can you tell us some of the stuff that you've seen and how that's been played out?
Yeah, I think, you know, this year as well, you know, we passed Working for Alabama, which I think is going to be a big, big deal. But we had the incentives that we had on the game plan we had to renew last year because of sunset. And, you know, some things that come out of that, the SEEDS Act has been very productive for the state. But with the incentives that we've had, I think people fail to realize, you know, Alabama's become a new Alabama. I mean, if you look at the rankings of where we're at, we're number one in exporting automobiles. We're in the top five in shipbuilding and commercial airlines. We're number one. I mean, technology now in Alabama with research in Birmingham with Southern Research and Hudson Alpha and Huntsville, and now going into the Wiregrass, we've fast become one of the strongest growing research states in the country. And we've got more engineers in Alabama, especially in the Redstone Arsenal area, than any other part of the country. So Alabama's changing. I mean, it's I think a lot of that has to do with incentives that the legislative body has passed. And I'm proud to be a part of that. And, you know, I don't have to tell you because you're involved. We got great members. They do really good work. And I'm proud of to be the speaker of this group.
We do. And I'm really happy to be a part of the team and on the team statewide. And especially down here, we've got some really good people that you've put into some really powerful positions. You talk about State Representative Chip Brown, who's a chair. Margie Wilcox is a chair. People criticize a lot and say, well, you're from Fort Payne, you're from Rainesville, you don't really know South Alabama. You're down here in South Alabama a ton. And that's what I try to tell everyone is you spend a lot of time down in Mobile and Baldwin County, and you've recognized the talent. Can you just talk to us about what you've seen from Mobile and Baldwin counties?
Yeah, I mean, I was kidding Chip the other day. He and I had a chance to go out and do a little bit of fishing. I was down there a couple of weeks ago. I was down there this weekend again. Seems like every few weeks I'm down there. But I love that part of the state. I mean, it's beautiful. And the growth and what it's doing for our state economy is amazing. And certainly the leadership that you guys provided. We have put more people in the leadership roles for Mobile and Baldwin County probably more than ever in the state house. So I'm excited about that, and I expected, you know, with folks like yourself, and I was just telling somebody today, you know, Matt's a super smart guy, and he works extremely hard, probably as hard as any member we got, and Margie's doing a tremendous job. She really has stepped her game up. Certainly was proud to put Chip Brown over to Ports, chairing that committee for Ports. You know, and it's so important. People in North Alabama, I preach it all the time, how important the port is and Mobile is for our commerce across the state. Certainly important for North Alabama. I mean, if you look at what they're doing up there with Toyota Mazda and with ag, you know, Alabama ranks second in ag. So a lot of the production from North Alabama goes out of the port and Mobile. So it all works together. But I'm, you know, Shane Stringer's taking a big role. He's a vice chair on one of the committees, and now he's the chairman of the delegation there in Mobile. So I think all those folks down there have done a really good job. You got some new people that's coming in as freshmen with Donna Givens and Francis Holt Jones. And I think they've done a really good job. Donna is one of the only freshmen that we have on our general fund. So she's on one of the most powerful committees in the state house. So it's amazing that the accomplishments y'all have done and what you're working with. And I certainly, from my leadership perspective, appreciate that, Matt.
And we also would be remiss if we didn't talk about, you know, one of the main people sitting at the table from South Alabama is our pro tem, Chris Pringle. And yeah. Can you talk about your relationship with him and how y'all work together in the speaker and the pro tem role?
Yeah, Chris has been tremendous. He has done a heck of a job, and I am so proud to have him in that role. And yeah, he and I over the past 2 years have gotten extremely close and we're really good together. And Chris is smart. I mean, he's got so much institutional knowledge, and there's been many times I call him in the office and just say, okay, what do you think about this? And where do you see the thing about Chris? He's a team guy. You know, whatever the team decides to do, he's going to be there full bore. And I can't compliment him enough on the job he's doing. I really, to be honest, I think all of us, when we first get these roles, me including, you know, there's growing spurts that we go through and try to develop into better leaders. And I've seen Chris Pringle do that. I've seen him in the last 2 years really grow into his role. And I think he's doing a tremendous job, and certainly working as closely with him as I do. He's become a good friend, and I'm excited for him, Laura. I think that's they're a good couple, and I look forward to being down there for his big event.
Absolutely. I know you were just down here this past weekend. This past weekend that Baldwin County becomes the center of the Alabama political universe, where we have all of our federal and local and state officials coming through. The business-friendly environment that we've tried to create with the legislature has starting to get some of the notice of people signing and coming up for Alabama as being a business-friendly state, and that's getting spread out nationally. Can you talk about the reports that's coming through that?
Yeah, it's been kind of amazing. I think, you know, some of the people that's reporting it, especially, I guess, the last 2 weeks, we've seen where Alabama ranks as the most moved into the one of the most business-friendly states in the country. You know, we've moved in broadband, access to broadband from being 44th, now we're 24. We've moved in education, and I think with the CHOOSE Act, we're going to see more movement with that. I mean, Alabama is setting the bar now in the Southeast, and I think it has a lot to do with some of the things that the legislative body's done. I mean, there's no question about that. The incentives that's being passed, and we got the strongest incentive package in the country, and I think we do it the right way. Those companies got to be here and doing business before they start getting them. And, you know, even with our growth has dictated that we do some other things, and the Working for Alabama plan that we passed this year with child care tax credit, which is going to be very positive for your area, as well as the housing credits. I think for Mobile and Baldwin, those stand out. Probably the counties I think that that's going to benefit the most is going to be Mobile, Baldwin, and Madison, just because of the extraordinary growth it had.
When you see some of the ideas become fruition and they start to actually produce the results you were promised, that's got to make you feel good when you see the port being, when we started talking in these conversations in 2019 about what we were going to do with the Rebuild Alabama Act and how important a role the port played in that act. And then you see here we are 5-6 years later and you see the result it's doing. That's got to make you feel good, right?
Well, it does. I mean, it really does. I mean, you got to think, you know, being from North Alabama, and we're putting $250 million in the port through the Rebuild Act, and me selling that to people and telling them this is the greatest thing ever, because it's going to open up our commerce from what it's like opening up a vein, you know, from one end of the state to the other, so we can do business. And that, man, it's done it. I mean, if you look at the growth at Mobile, I think they're one of the fastest growing ports in the country. They've increased since we started that work by over 43%. I mean, just for what's coming in. And now, because of that, they're talking about putting a port here in Montgomery. And we'll see them across the state. I think, you know, one of the things, you and I was just at Southern Legislative Conference, and I served on one of the committees in transportation. I actually chaired that committee for them for a few years. And seeing what Georgia had done with their off ports and doing it across their state, now seeing Alabama mirroring that and being able to do it, and now we're taking some of those, you know, finally, we produce more cars than anybody, but we wasn't able to ship them out of our port because it wasn't deep enough and wide enough. And now seeing that come to be and seeing those automobiles coming into the port in Mobile, it is. I mean, it's just, you think, you know, it going through all that and trying to get it done and then seeing it come to fruition is a big deal. And, you know, I think we all got to give credit. What credit to you? I think the good Lord's looking out for us on some of that. But, man, it's been awesome to kind of travel the state like I get a chance to do and see what the outcomes have been.
One of the issues, and I can't let you get off the phone without talking about it because I know this issue is so important to you from even before you were speaker when you were the majority leader, is mental health in Alabama. And the increased funding and the increased spending we've had on mental health and some of the results from that. Can you tell us what your efforts have been and how you're seeing that pay off?
Yeah, you know, we were at a point with all the growth we're having in our economy. I told the governor we're certainly failing in mental health, and she tasked me to try to fix it. And I think, you know, it's one of those things that's always going to need a fix, and continuing to build it. It's almost like putting a puzzle together. But if you look at the outcome from when we first started to today, I mean, we have made strides. It is something I didn't think about. It's just everybody working together. When you got other states call and say, okay, how y'all doing this? And we are strongly becoming one of the stronger states for mental health. And I'm proud of that. I mean, you know, one of the first things we did, of course, was putting mental health coordinators in every school system across the state, and then increasing the CIT training for a police officer so I could identify mental health, and not only for the safety of the people they serve, but also for themselves. And then the crisis care centers, one of which is going in Mobile now, has been a huge deal. And I think we got 15 mobile units. We're going to add 6 crisis care centers, brick and mortars, that we've got open, most all of them. Now, as a matter of fact, the governor had asked me to come to a wing in Huntsville where we had put one there. Now they're expanding it to an adolescence wing. So the growth and what we've put in mental health is certainly something I think makes us a better state.
Well, you're absolutely been on the front lines of that, and to lead the charge with a lot of what we're doing in mental health, and you should absolutely be commended for that. It's that time, and I know you're getting ready to leave, but I do want to ask a couple of questions because everybody wants to know. As soon as we get done with the 2024 session, the first question out of everybody's mouth is, what's happening in 2025? Where do you see the session headed in 2025?
Well, I think, you know, with everything we just got through talking about, Matt, with the growth of our economy, and certainly has been, you know, it's been something that I didn't think we'd see in a lifetime that's happening. I mean, we're growing at a pace I've never dreamed we could be doing, and then with that comes issues. And, you know, one of them in the metropolitan areas, we've got some issues with crime, and so we have already geared up and have been meeting about that, and probably we'll see some legislation to try to help with that. I think it's important for our growth that people know if they come to Alabama, they can be safe. And we've got some issues, and we've got to face them. And we'll continue to work on that. So that'll be some of the things. I think the education side of it, you'll see some things in education that's going to make it stronger. And I think that's something that we tried to do. One thing when I come as speaker is try to help our education system. I think we're making some strides in that, but I think this year we'll see some more probably come out. And so I think those will be a couple of things you'll see. Certainly you've done a tremendous job. I can't give you enough credit on what you've done with ethics reform. And I think we've gotten, sometimes, as you know, and the listeners need to be aware, but sometimes on tough issues, you can't get it done in one session because there's so many things. It just takes time and to get it right. And I think that's important. So I applaud you on the work you've done. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see something with that come back. So, I think there's a lot of things that will be coming up, and I'm excited about that. We've met the last 2 days. I've been in Montgomery and been doing meetings, and we've got some exciting things. One of them, we're meeting here at 1 o'clock, and I'm not privy to announce it yet, but if we can pull it off, it's going to be a big deal for Alabama.
Breaking news to pay attention. Something's happening at 1 o'clock, but we'll find out what it is later. Mr. Speaker, thank you for your time. Thank you for everything you've done for Mobile and Baldwin counties. Thank you for your leadership for the state of Alabama. And tell Miss Teresa I said hello.
I will do it. Tell Marina we said hello. Look forward to seeing you guys again. We thank the world of y'all, and you've done a tremendous job. And I just can't say enough for your leadership. And I thought by putting you in the leadership role as chairman, you'd do a great job, but you've exceeded my expectations. So I just want to thank you for the leader that you are.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly do appreciate that. All right, we're going to go to a break now. This is FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. I am not Sean Sullivan. I'm State Representative Matt Simpson, but we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan, only I am not Sean Sullivan. This is State Representative Matt Simpson filling in for you guys today. Don't change the channel just yet. We've got an exciting program today. One of the things that I wanted to do when I had this opportunity to come in and host is kind of talk about some of the things that the general public is not talking about, that maybe it falls under the radar a little bit from everybody. It's not going to catch the headlines of AL.com. It's not going to be the thing everybody talks about at the water cooler, but we're really doing some things across this state that are really making an impact. That really, when you go to Montgomery, you try to make a difference, and that's some of the stuff that we're doing to make our area better, to make all our listeners, the area that all our listeners in and serve better. To have the opportunity to have the speaker come in, and we talk so strongly about what's going on in both Mobile and Baldwin counties, when he puts leadership in the roles of Chip Brown as a chair, of Shane Stringer, of our pro tem Chris Pringle, of Margie Wilcox as a chair, when you have the opportunity to get a voice in Montgomery, to be sitting at the table, that's what we've needed. That's what we're pressing for. And we've got some young guns coming in. I know Chip, Shane, and I have been there for about six. We're going on our seventh term, going up on 7 years. But we've got, you think of Mark Shirey, Dr. Mark Shirey, who does a lot with healthcare. You think of Francis Holt Jones, Donna Givens, Jennifer Fidler. And you throw that on top of the group that came in with Chip, Shane, and I, and you throw that with Margie and Chris Pringle. We're really doing a good deal for our area, and I want people to understand what we're doing for our area. That's my biggest weakness, I'll tell you, is the messaging. People come out all the time, it's like, if I only knew what you guys were doing, or I didn't know that was something that was going on. So this is an opportunity that I wanted to jump on and tell people, hey, we're doing some really good things for South Alabama and Montgomery. And some of the benefit of what we're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about next up at 12:30 is going to be Michael Hoyt, candidate for district court judge. He's candidate for district court judge because we passed a bill in 2023 giving 13 new judges throughout the state, and 4 of those new judges came to Mobile and Baldwin counties. So we're seeing the product of good legislation, of good conservative government, and I want you guys to hear about it. So stick around for the rest of the day.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan, only this is not with Sean Sullivan. I am State Representative Matt Simpson filling in today. Sean is on vacation for a week. He should be back pretty soon. I'm very happy to be the host today, and one of the things I got to do was just wanted to figure out who would you like to talk to if you had this opportunity to discuss issues going on down here. And I couldn't think of a better person to talk about what's going on than our new district court judge candidate in Baldwin County. And when I say candidate, he is the candidate, and there's nobody on the ballot against him, and that is Michael Hoyt. Michael, are you there?
Matt, I'm here, and it's great to talk with you. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, absolutely. One of the things that I wanted to focus on was some of the good things that the legislature and that was coming out of Alabama, and one of those good things is this 2023 bill that we passed with 13 new judges coming throughout the state. And of those 13 new judges, we were able to get four down in Mobile and Baldwin County. In 2024, Mobile is getting a district court judge. Baldwin County is getting a district court judge. And Baldwin County is also getting a circuit court judge. In 2026, Baldwin County will get a circuit court judge as well. And to have you be one of those guys that people, not just guys, judges, there's a ton of female judges, some very good ones in our area, but to have you be one of the people that's filling in that spot, that just meant the world to me. So I wanted to get the opportunity for the people to find out who you are. Michael, we go back a long way in the Republican Party, and can you just kind of let the people know who you are?
Matt, thank you very much, and let me just start by saying I can't overstate, and I hope the people can understand, the Herculean effort that was undertaken in the 2023 legislative session, and particularly by our Baldwin County delegation, in getting these three new judgeships for Baldwin County, something that has been trying to be done for a decade plus. And to not only get that done, but to have it pass unanimously out of both houses is tremendous. And, you know, we've had the same amount of judges in Baldwin County, district and circuit court judges, for the past 20-plus years. And we know what's happened to our population during that time, and we certainly don't have the same amount of people that we had 20 years ago. And so this was just a great work by our legislative delegation and by the legislature as a whole. And what a positive for the people of our region, Mobile and Baldwin County, because if you can't get your case in front of a judge and you can't be heard timely, we know the old saw that justice delayed is justice denied, and that's certainly true. And so this is something that is really a tremendous net positive that came out of the legislative session, and thank you for your efforts in getting that done.
Absolutely. That was something that hits close home to me. You know, I've been in front of Judge Reed and a lot of judges over in Baldwin County when I was practicing over there, and they'd all say, we need new judges, and nobody thought it would happen in their lifetime. And not only did we get one, but we got three coming to Baldwin County. So to have that, can you let the people understand what a district court judge does and how this is going to help them and the people have more access to justice with what we're doing?
Matt, I've served as the municipal court judge for the city of Daphne for the past 12 years. It'll be 12 years in January. And in the municipal courts, you handle all of the misdemeanor criminal violations that occur within your city, all of the traffic cases. And a lot of that directly transfers over to the duties of the district court judge, except it's on a countywide scale. So the district court hears all traffic violations that originate with the sheriff's department or state troopers. Also hears all of the misdemeanor criminal cases that are brought by not only the sheriff's department or state troopers, but also conservation officers or marine police, division of ALEA, as well as felony cases that are on preliminary hearing, and all of the civil cases such as small claims and matters in controversy up to $20,000. So the district court, much like the municipal courts, really are the courts of the people's court. They're the court that you're most likely to have contact with, and so it's important to have efficiency in handling those cases and managing large volumes. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to use the skills that I've developed in years as a city court judge and prosecutor, as well as a defense lawyer, and to use that in the district court and serve the people of Baldwin County.
What's the, and I know just, I know how hard you work, and I know you do research and you get prepared for them. What's the caseload you're anticipating walking into? What are our district court judges facing right now?
You know, right now we have two district court judges that do really triple or quadruple duty, because they handle not only those cases that I've talked about, we just mentioned, but they also take a share of the domestic relations cases. And then in the case of Judge Thomason, she also runs the Veterans Court. And so those assignments will change, and we will, when I come on board, we will have three district court judges, and we'll have two district court judges for the first time in my career that are solely doing traditional district court work, which is those civil dockets, small claims, and all of the criminal cases. Right now, Matt, those dockets on traffic dockets can be 500, 600, 700 cases in a day.
So the general public, I want them to understand when they come in, if you're talking 500, 600, 700 cases, that means you're coming into a docket that may start at 9 o'clock. And Michael, how long do some of those, how long do those dockets last?
Well, they could potentially last, if you've got everybody come to court like they're supposed to and should, they could last well into the afternoon. And so it's important to make sure that those cases are handled very efficiently, because you have to respect people's time. People work. They have to take off from work and be out there. If it's younger people, they might have to be out of school. And so you want to be able to handle those cases. Everybody gets their opportunity to be in court, but do so in a professional and timely and efficient manner.
And you've seen stories of it happening, and I know of instances where it happens where a judge will take the bench at 9 o'clock and just go on through, and they're sitting there until 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening sometimes. And it's not just the judges that have to do that. It's the general public. It's the people that took off from work that say, hey, I had to take off from work today, and I've got here 8:30 because I wanted to be on time, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And by 4 o'clock, they're upset. They're really upset before 4 o'clock, but they're upset. So this gives people the chance so they won't have to be sitting in Bay Minette all day long trying to get their case heard, to have more judges working on it. That's what I'm excited about, to have that opportunity, Michael.
You know, this is one of those opportunities where as you as a legislator can watch a bill come to life, come to fruition, and really see tangible, real results. And I know that's got to be satisfying for y'all, because this is really going to be something that you're going to see a change. Now, let me tell you, our district court judges are the hardest working ones in the state. I know Judge Scully has the, I think, the largest volume in the state. So they work very hard, do a very great, great job. And so this will bring some much needed relief, and really will be a boon for the people.
And that's what today is about on this show. I wanted people to understand what to get information that they may not have. Our judges in Baldwin County are working judges. Our judges are the same in Mobile County. They're working judges. This isn't something where, hey, you got a judge on the golf course every day and enjoying their time. Our judges are on the bench working constantly. And because of they've had to be so could underserve the people by three judges, that's why we got it in Baldwin County, that to be able to have the opportunity to have not only you serve in a district court judge role, but also another circuit court judge was going to help those cases move faster. And then in 2 years, we've got another judge coming to help move those cases faster. So the efficiency is going to increase exponentially, and that's what I'm excited about. But Michael, not just the fact that the spot itself is created, I'm very happy that you will be able to serve on the bench. And you mentioned it. You've served as a municipal judge, but I want people to understand your background. You're born and raised in Baldwin County, right?
Well, I'm not a native Baldwin Countyan, but lived in Baldwin County since I was in fourth grade.
That's what it was.
And grew up here in Baldwin County. Prior to that was in, you know, way across the bay over there in Mobile. So I've been a Gulf Coast my whole life, and grew up in Baldwin County, went to Baldwin County public schools, graduated from Daphne High School, graduated from Auburn University. You know, you and I diverge there. Me, you, and Marina have differences there, but that's okay.
You can't be perfect.
And then I went to law school, University of Arkansas, Little Rock, and came back home to Baldwin County and opened my practice with my law partner, Warren Harbison, back in 2006. And we've been in practice together ever since that time. And that really matters when mine and your relationship developed, because it was around that time that brought back to life the Baldwin County Young Republicans.
Me and you and Brad Hicks, right?
Yeah, well, that's right. And so we used to have meetings at my office over there in Daphne, and so our ties go way back. We've been good friends for many, many years. Both of us have been involved in the leadership of the Young Republicans and the Baldwin County Republican Executive Committee, which both you and I are past chairs of that committee. And also serve in the state party, and you've got leadership roles there. So we have commonality of interest, and share the conservative values that really make Baldwin County great. And so while the role of a judge is not political at all, it's the opposite of that. You don't take into account anybody's politics on any justiciable matter before you, but it's important that whatever candidate for office, whatever they're running for, that they do have those Baldwin County conservative values, and I know that I bring that to this job, and will do a good job for the people.
It's important for everybody to understand just how respected you are from your time running the party, from your time involvement in the legal profession, not only just in politics, but in your professional life and your personal life as well. Michael, you're thought so highly of that nobody ran against you. When you declared that you were going to run for this district court judge spot, everybody said, that's wonderful. How long, you've got the experience to do it. How long have you been the municipal court judge in Daphne?
Well, let me say, Matt, I hope you host this show more often. And when I need an ego boost, you call me. Then I'm going to come on here. I thank you for your kind words. But I tell you, and you know it, it's very humbling to have an open seat, and there's hundreds of lawyers in Baldwin County, and that I had the respect of my colleagues such that nobody ran against me in the primary, like you said, and nobody's running against me in the general. And I'm so appreciative of that, and it's very humbling, and I'm grateful to all my colleagues for putting their faith in me to do the job. And letting me do that, when I went into practice, when Warren and I hung our shingle, straight out of taking the bar, opened an office, had no clients, and Judge Doyle, who I knew his kids from going to school with some of them, and he said, "Hey, come down to Daphne Court, and I'll give you some appointed cases." And so I used to go down there every Tuesday, and sit in Judge Doyle's court, represented people down there. Then you kind of build your practice. And I took appointed cases in there, had private cases in there. And when that position came open, I put in for that. A lot of other lawyers did too. Scariest job interview I've ever had, which was done at an open city council meeting in front of everyone. And I was blessed to be chosen unanimously to serve as the municipal court judge. And that was back in January of 2013. And they've had the confidence to reappoint me 5 additional times since then. It's 2-year terms for a municipal court judge. So I've thoroughly enjoyed doing that. And doing that is really what gave me the desire to want to do that on a larger scale and do that countywide. And I'm certainly blessed to be able to do so.
Well, I can tell you, Daphne is certainly going to miss you, but our loss in Daphne is going to be the entire county's gain. When will you take the bench? When's your first sworn into office day?
I will get sworn in on Tuesday, January 21st, 2025. That 20th is a holiday. That's Martin Luther King Day. And so the courthouses and all will be closed on that day. So the fancy term for it is investiture. For the judges, and so that will be January 21st of 25.
January 21st to 25, and if I know you like I think I do, I think you've already got a docket lined up for January 22nd.
It'll happen quickly. It'll happen quickly, that's for sure.
Well, Michael, I'm certainly proud to be able to call you a friend, and thank you for coming on the show, and I look forward to all the wonderful things you're going to be able to do on the bench.
Well, God bless you, Matt. I appreciate your friendship and appreciate all you do for us down here in District 96 and the work you do in our state party. Thank you for your leadership.
Well, thank you, sir. It is 12:49 at FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan, only I'm not Sean Sullivan. This is Representative Matt Simpson. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan, only I'm not Sean Sullivan. This is State Representative Matt Simpson. As you guys can see, part of what I wanted to do today was talk about the good news for our area, good news for our state, things that are going on really well that maybe fall under the radar a little bit. Stuff like, hey, we got 4 new judges coming to our area to help people have access to justice. Stuff like the speaker talking about the leadership roles of our people down here. One of the news articles that just came across my desk, because there was a press conference this morning I couldn't be at because I was getting ready for this today, is Governor Ivey was in town, and Governor Ivey announced $30 million in projects for Go Mesa-funded projects. You're not going to hear that other places. It's not going to be the first run that's in the press area. But 25 projects in coastal Alabama received $30 million announced today. Chris Blankenship, who's the commissioner of the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, is helping responsible for giving out that. They've given over more than $210 million under the Ivey administration for Go Mesa projects, and that is only in our area. Senator Chris Elliott had a bill a few years ago to make sure that that Go Mesa money, which is the Gulf, and I want to make sure I have this right, the Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act, which goes to make sure that that money is protected and goes towards environmental education and outreach, sewer and stormwater infrastructure, water quality improvements, recreational access improvements, and other important projects. And those funds have to stay in Mobile and Baldwin County. So as part of the press release that went out today, as far as the funding that went through, that $30 million plus that went out, I'm happy to say Honor Park in Spanish Fort got $3 million of that money, which is, hey, always good for District 96. You see the city of Criolla got $1 million for their conservation and education project. Mobile County Cedar Point Boat Ramp Phase 2 got $2.75 million. Mir State Park, the headquarters of the Camp Store project, $1.1 million. Big fan of that in the district. Dolphin Island Middle Beach Access Improvements. Dolphin Island Middle Beach Access Improvements, $1.5 million. Summerdale Miracle League Ball Fields, $1.538 million. Fairhope Flying Creek Natural Preserve, Phase 2, $1.3 million. The National Maritime Museum Improvements in Mobile, $2.25 million. Saraland Water and Sewer System Upgrades, $1.5 million. Blakely Park Waterfront Access Improvement Project, $1.9 million. Mobile Riverfront Park Enhancements, Phase 2, $3.023 million. Dolphin Island Sewer Collection System, $2.965. Little things like that of how we're making sure that we get what we – I'm not going to say what we deserve. I'm not going to say we get everything that we should get. We should get more. But when we do good things to bring stuff to our area, that's the stuff that you guys don't hear about. When I'm trying to tell you, we're fighting for you in Montgomery. We really do work as a region. We put our arm around each other and say, what's good for Mobile County is good for Baldwin County. There's not a lot of animosity, or it's not a you versus us, it's a we argument that we make. And when we go up there and we're able to get the governor to come down here with a $30 million announcement on Go Mesa funds, that's something that's good news. So when Sean asked me to be on, I wanted to have a good news day. I wanted to have a good news Tuesday. So we're going to talk about some of the good news. Next up at 1 o'clock, the 1 o'clock hour, is going to be State Representative Margie Wilcox. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that she passed, some legislation she passed last year that's going to be very helpful to everybody that can hear the station. And you'll understand why I'm saying that when we talked about who can hear the radio because of what Representative Wilcox has done. We're going to talk about her roles in joint transportation as a chair of the Joint Transportation Committee, the chair of the Sunset Committee. Just things that maybe fall under the radar a little bit that the general public won't hear about. You guys are our constituents. We're supposed to hear from you. I will tell you, the text line is open, 251-343-0106. That's 251-343-0106. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan. I'm State Representative Matt Simpson.